My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Giacomo Fino Anane.
Ding dong! Us culturistas are here. It is time. It is now.
It is time. It is place, honey. This is Bowen Yang.
And this is Matt Rogers. And this is the Lost Culturistas podcast. We culture experts are here. Mm-hmm. We're on a crusade.
On a crusade for culture.
A crusade for culture. You know what? That's going to be our new slogan, I think. We're on a crusade for culture. Honey. I like it because of its religious overtones.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, but this is a culture inquisition.
It's a culture inquisition. Absolutely. Because we're looking at it and it needs to be inquisited.
Absolutely.
Is that a word? How would you say that?
You know what? Culture is about creating culture and language is culture. And mm-hmm. I think inquisited is a word.
I think so. I think rule number 12.
Rule number 12.
You can create words.
Guys, we have such a special guest with us today.
A truly special guest and a great friend. He's a member of Pop Roulette. He's been a friend of ours for, probably a friend of mine for,
a star
like 2011, so maybe like 5-6 years
we've been star friends. Of the NYU reality show.
Gosh. Yes, way back when.
A master choreographer.
Master choreographer, and I'm going to bring up more about that, but his name's David Mazzoni.
Hi,
oh
David.
My gosh, guys, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Lost Culturistas, truly we're joined by another culturista, I think.
Another contemporary. Yeah, contemporary culturista.
Boys, you're flattering me.
Well, I have to say, there was a period in my life, and this is like, I do credit David with this.
Okay.
After I met David, I did start wearing like tighter jeans.
Wow.
Yes.
And my style did change.
Well, I mean, we finally acknowledged his colorblindness, and yes. I also fully thrust upon you like bags and bags of like clothes of mine that I had.
I get hand-me-down clothes from David and have been now for 4 years.
To this day?
To this day. And I've also realized like much of the clothing that I wear is either David's or Henry's.
Henry's.
Like I won't wear my own clothes.
Yes.
Wow.
And then honestly, all my clothing, and I'm actually, my boyfriend just moved in. And so basically now he's doing this thing where he's like, you have to give away almost everything you own because we have to fit my things in, and everything I'm giving away is my real shit, and like David's shit is staying, and like I'm like I can just wear all your things because I'm talking to Henry.
What's
anyway.
Your shit? Like describe, generalize your shit.
To be honest with you, like all of it is way too tight up top.
Okay,
I have this thing because I think what's in now, and I think what I like is like tighter pants and dark on the bottom, and then like. A little bit looser up top, I think.
Well, okay. Being colorblind, I guess it's part of the thing is just the colors become dark and light.
The colors are, you
just
know,
kind
yeah.
of like a dark with a light whenever possible.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think
you,
like,
David.
I got a lot from
David,
from my friend.
I'm happy to supply them. I have another bag for you, Henny.
Okay, well, I want it.
It's coming
because,
your way, bitch.
Oh my God, he's going to kill me. If I come in with another bag of clothes.
All right, bitch. Okay, now it's time. David, we want to know more about you. Let's talk about the culture that shaped you
right.
up until this point in your life. Like, go back all the way to the beginning. Just walk us through, honey.
Okay. Well, I think this is where Matt and I like really bonded when we first were becoming friends when we were in a reality show. From Rhode Island, which is, I usually refer to it as New Jersey and Boston's kind of love child. It's like an Italian Irish sort of like clusterfuck where everyone smokes and everyone loves their moms.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a really nice place.
So are you saying that everyone smokes weed?
Yeah. Rhode Island is huge with weed.
Absolutely.
Is it?
Yes.
See, this is a thing that is different from, and I don't know, because we all went to NYU. And one difference that I noticed, I clocked this difference, honey. is I'm from Long Island and everybody was an underage drinker. And then I came to NYU and all of a sudden everybody I met, and I mean everybody, had like a big vocabulary for weed, and I didn't know anything about that. And you were like a full-blown stoner. Like,
well, I mean, I didn't actually smoke a damn thing until my senior year of high school. And then once I got accepted into NYU, I was like, oh, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
I got in early decision. I was done like December.
Yeah.
And that was a wrap.
Wow.
And I went absolutely fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Actually, with my friend Greg, shout out to Greg if he's listening to this. I'm going to his wedding, which makes me just feel so old.
Fun.
I'm going to his wedding
Greg,
in 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
We love you, Greg and Katie. Yeah. But anyway, Greg like literally gave me my first bowl and like taught me how to buy it and all this stuff. And Anyway, my dad's like now like, well, he's like loving it too. And he's
yeah, he grows
for it. It's like,
am I allowed to say that?
Maybe. well, my dad is just starting to get into it for sure. And yeah. that's something that is like so crazy for me because I have actually this amazing story of my, I think I was, I want to say 17. I had finished my like restaurant job at the time. And I was like meeting up with a friend who I worked with to like smoke a blunt.
Smoke a blunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was like, you want to roll it? And I was like, oh yeah. Like I'll roll it. Sure. No problem.
This is straight Dave, by
yeah,
the way.
I was like,
so
oh
probably,
yeah,
like...
sure. Like also great tits. Anyway.
Good boobs.
Good boobs. So I like, I'm sitting on the thing and my mom calls me and she's like, Dave, she's like, we're making pasta. Like, are you coming home? Which is like a oh very typical call from my mother. Sure. And I'm like, mom, like, work is really like running late. Like I have a couple of tables that I have to stay around for. Like I'll be home soon, but I'm going to be home later than like anticipated. And she was like, okay, like just let me know when you're coming home. Uh-huh. So me and this girl like go for a lap in her car and I'm like yeah. rolling in. I'm in like the front side seat and we're talking about like, I don't even fucking know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you talk to your, like, restaurant job friends when
I
you're
know.
17 about, which is a whole nother podcast.
I know, like, it really is. Wow. I had the same experience. Well, not to get too far away from what it is, because I do want to find out what it is that you think that, like, that we bonded about that shaped, that that was, like, the culture, part of the culture that shaped you.
Yes.
But, yes, fucking 100% I identify
Absolutely.
With, like, having, like, a really quote-unquote best friend at work.
At work.
Oh, mine was named
bestie.
Amanda.
Mine was named Emily Knepper.
Mine
Hi, Emily.
Was named Emily, too.
Oh, wow. Well, Emily's.
I'm not going to drop
I mean, their
name.
Names were Emily's and Amanda. So, of course, they were, like, suburban, like, white girls who, like, worked
I
in
know.
Restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, this girl, Emily, was, like, the smoker. Like, yeah. she had, like, one of those, like, long dreads with the bead and then in the back that she, like,
oh, God.
Had to tuck in for health and, like, safety concerns at
and
work.
Hygiene.
Yeah.
Hygiene,
yeah.
yes. So anyway, like, bottom line is we're, like, so pulled over at a red light, and I'm fully, like, licking this Dutch clothes.
Cop.
No. Oh. Way Your worse
mom!
Than a cop. My mother
oh my
pulls
God.
Up next to us in her Infiniti i30. turns. I, like, turn to my right, and I'm like, oh, it's literally in my mouth. Like, it's like, right
oh,
here. I'm
that's
like,
mortifying.
Oh, no. You were literally caught in the act.
I can't even tell you. So I, like, turn to my mom. She goes, what? She doesn't know this girl, Emily, that I work
I
with.
Know.
She never comes. So she's like, who are you? First of all, who are you with? Second of all, what the fuck are you doing? Third of all, you lied to me.
I know. That's oh. the worst.
Which is the worst because my mom is just the best. And, like, we're just so close. And I just never want to hurt her little
You know what
body.
I would have done? I would have put on an accent. And been like, I don't know who you are.
That'll,
I acted like
that'll throw her
Well,
off.
She lips to me from across the thing mom. With her car. She just lips, get home.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
And so I call her, and I'm hi. I was like, And so, like, my mind, I, like, first of all, I, like, completely lose my cool in front of Emily. I'm, like, trying to be all, like, blunt. And then I'm, like, that
yeah,
was
this
my
girl's
mom.
Got
I'm
this like, girl's got, like, a dread. She's cool. Yeah. She doesn't have to worry about her mom.
Emily with a dread is, like, oh, my God, this boy is, like, totally freaking out. His mom is totally not chill. And so I call her and I tell her that Emily dropped a cigarette and that I was fixing her cigarette for her. And, like,
what
that
bullshit.
She was going to smoke it and that she was giving me a ride home. And my mom was like, well, then why wouldn't you use your car? And I was like, and my mom was like, shut the fuck up and just come
yeah.
home.
Oh
she
my God.
Hung up the phone.
Wow.
So anyway, that's like, that was like a tangent experience, but it's certainly like
formative.
A formative experience of my weed smoking in Rhode Island.
And that's the culture in Rhode Island.
I mean, yeah.
I can't believe 420 is around the corner. We have such a busy day
tomorrow.
We're not even going to get to celebrate.
It's honestly, this is, I guess, a perfect little plug. So David is in Pop Roulette with Bowen and I. Pop mm-hmm. Roulette is a musical sketch comedy group that you may or may not be familiar with.
We've been together for a while.
We've been
now.
Together
a
for
long
it's
time.
It's almost 4 years.
Yes.
And so we've performed many places, and we have a spank, which is a kind of like an audition show, this Friday, April 22nd at 6 p.m. We're going to be putting up our show, Pop Roulette's Amazing Earth. Mm-hmm. It's the first narrative show we've ever done.
Yep.
It's the first time we're going to be doing some material.
Yeah.
And this is really something that we've literally worked on for months and probably been thinking about doing for a year.
A long time.
And we're really excited about it.
It's all about the run.
Yeah.
It's all about the run. Come on, let's be real. So anyway, that's happening and we're very excited.
Yes.
I wanted to give you guys an opportunity before we jump into some current events.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give you, and maybe I'll even put this on a clock. So Bowen and David share a passionate love for a certain pop icon whose name is Lady Gaga.
Oh.
And I would love to let you guys kiki about Lady Gaga. I'm going to put a minute on the clock.
Okay.
And I want you to kiki about Lady Gaga.
We've done this many times.
And go.
Oh, baby, shall we pick up where we left off?
Oh, where did we leave off, honey?
Well, I mean, I guess we could talk about LG5, which is her rumored fifth album, which we're
Spilty.
All... We're waiting for hard.
Oh, we're waiting for hard because here are some of the collaborators she's got. She's got Mark Ronson. She's got Niles Rogers.
Metro. Mm-hmm.
She's got Tony.
She's got Tony Bennett.
Who I heard plans to do a ballad with her on the album, which I've more Gaga type ballad, a less of a Tony type ballad.
Totally.
Is going to be involved. I also read online that she plans to do a song with Elton as well.
Wow.
I don't know if that one's going to be on the album or not. These are all like very, these are basically Gaga fans just throwing shit.
I
think they're basically just throwing shit in the universe and just seeing who responds.
Right.
It's like a Gaga Reddit. I wish for like a musical Gaga album. I want almost like Broadway drama.
Well, she's going to give you that late career. I think now what she's going to give you, I think she's
going
to
go. She's been going that way. She's been bringing it to you every ball.
She's been bringing it to every ball, honey. Why y'all gagging
so?
But
listen, people shit on Art Pop. And I have to say, Art Pop was one of my favorite albums.
That's a great album.
The clock is out the window. You guys go.
I would agree. Like that Art Pop to me represented a component of Lady Gaga's personality that she had been a little bit reluctant to express, which is like just a carefree, fun, like bubblegummy sort of like attitude filled machine.
Look, she's the reason she like draws so much ire and the reason why people like sort of poo poo on her like artistic choices because she's the smartest. She's the only pop star smart enough to make those choices and to like know that they're gonna get a reaction out of some people. But speaking of her next album, I think it's gonna go in more of a punk direction, like classic, like punk shit.
That would be great. Yeah. I mean, Born This Way. That was one of my favorite parts of Born This Way was that she's on the front cover with like she's dressed in like a like all this leather and she's on a bike
and she's a human motorcycle.
The motorcycle to her represented like that was like a lot of the feeling of a lot of those songs. It was like very like
it was Bruce Springsteen.
It was like powerful and it was grindy and
I love Born This Way.
Born This Way. I think Heavy Metal Lover. I think like all those songs that were like that album had such an identity. I felt and also I met her at that time.
Yeah,
that was my
the
first
release.
Time meeting her. I went and slept on the street. Slept on 4th Avenue with my friend Michael Burbach and Ben.
We have to mention, though, that David was an extra.
Yeah.
Was a background actor on the scrapped Lady Gaga video for Do What You Want.
And I really was, too. A friend of mine, his name is Mark, he's like sort of on the ins with all the stuff that's going on with her. He's a good friend and an NYU alum. Anyway, he reached out and was like, give me your email address. I'll tell you more details later. And I was like, does this have to do with Lady Gaga? And he was like, yes. And I was like, can I tell like three of my friends to please give their emails to you as well? And he was like, yes. Long story short, we found out that we showed up to a warehouse in Greenpoint for the Do What You Want music video shoot.
Oh,
R. Kelly on set, Gaga on set, the whole nine. We're like in a holding room forever. There's people in like nurses' outfits. They come out and like give us all these jackets to wear. It's taking forever. So Gaga buys us pizza. Ugh. Like it was like such a fun experience. We get on set. R. Kelly looks so wasted. I can't even tell you. Like, I gotta say, and it made me really sad because like Gaga was like really killing it and really trying to like focus, and R. Kelly on set and Terry Richardson as director, it was just like this weird energy in the room, and you could tell that things weren't really going as
people.
Planned.
Yeah.
And like I think that was kind of why they were behind is I think Gaga and Terry weren't really seeing eye to eye, and I think that like it just didn't really seem to go well. And that's when the video never happened, I wasn't really surprised.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I was so pissed. I was so upset. But I could see like they had sort of put the single out and then they were kind of backing up off of it. And then they put Christina on a remix of it and they were trying to push that one instead.
Yeah.
I just think that R. Kelly is just somebody whose reputation just can't be cleared.
No.
Well, yeah, she did get some flack for even having him on the album.
There's no doubt that he's I Believe I Can Fly.
I mean, yes, I think he's extremely talented vocalist. I don't get the choice to have him on the album.
Me
and
either.
He does nothing for the song, which is so good. And that's I think actually one of the high points of Art Pop. But the Christina version was it was more fun. I don't know if it was I don't know if it was better, but it was definitely more fun and more fun for her fans, I think, and for the gay community to say. I mean, I think we all gagged when we heard that Christina Aguilera was on it because it's just so funny.
And they both looked like these fucking crystal.
Honestly, they look a lot like each other.
They looked like these fucking ABBA fucking.
Oh my God,
when they performed it on The Voice.
Yes.
And they had like the scene in the performance where they both sat on the hassock and like turned to each other and just like confessed.
They
like,
were on a hassock. I mean, they were on like a lazy boy hassock.
It was literally iconic. Like, it was like the two richest women in the world, the characters they were playing were like, hey, can you come over? We need to talk. And I was just like, come sit on my hassock. I need to tell you like what my problems are.
I'm like, maybe we're going to kiss the
and
whole
time.
And
it's the press.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
I agree. I think I love Lady Gaga to death. I love that she's finally getting some of the respect in the industry that she deserved at the very beginning of her career. But as we do with all celebrities, we love to build them up and break them down and tear them apart.
And won't be the last time.
No, it will not be the last time. But I think that this Tony Bennett sort of break has given her some musical legitimacy and some vocal legitimacy
that she's always had.
That she's always had in my eyes, but that she did not need, but is now getting from all these people and all these haters. Mm-hmm. And also, she's about to get married. She's like in such a good place.
Yeah.
She loves this man, and Tony Bennett's going to sing at their fucking wedding.
That's like, crazy. No, crazy. What an Italian fever dream.
I know. Like, if I ever rose to a point where like I had acquired a level of fame where I was besties with Tony Bennett and Elton John, and they were going to be coming to my wedding to sing,
yeah,
like, can you imagine her family? Like, nuts. That's just got to be such an incredible experience.
I mean, insane. Yeah. I you would think, and not that she's ever done anything that's expected, which is why she's so exciting. And I guess to call myself like, I would call myself like a B+ fan of hers, in that like, it's not about how much I like her. I really like her, but I also understand and respect the fact that like a lot of her A+ fans and her A fans have like done the work. Like, she's like the kind of person that's like, if you call yourself a Lady Gaga fan, the real Lady Gaga fans will turn around and be like, oh, really? Cause what do you know? Cause like, have you put the time in?
Wow.
I think when you cross over into the real Lady Gaga world is when you start to really notice the differences in all of her live performances. She doesn't just she doesn't just do what you want at Jimmy Fallon, at like Ellen. She brings a different performance and a new like take on her songs to every single place she travels.
Yeah. Wait, what was this? Okay, this was back in 2014 in April when she did three different performances. Oh, this is what it was. And like there was like someone wrote an article about how crazy and impressive this was. In that same month of April of 2014, she did her South by Southwest set and gave the keynote speech. And then she also did her Roseland shows, her Roseland ballroom
which
shows.
I went to, which was so, just so special.
Uh-huh.
That said, I love
that
because,
venue was so good. Yeah. R.I.P. I saw Beyonce there. Best concert of my life.
I remember you. I remember after that.
Four.
Oh my Four. God. That was
you,
love
you know
on
what
top.
Absolutely gave me my life at that show? Was End of Time.
End of Time.
And oh my God, you would not believe. And then I find out 4 months later that she had been pregnant the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because she's when she dropped the mic on the VMAs.
Oh my God, another iconic gay
like,
moment in gay history.
On. Like she gave
gay
life.
History.
Oh, and like also 1+1.
1+1. Amazing. Oh,
screaming, belting, giving her life.
I will never forget when she did 1+1 at the Mrs. Carter Show World Tour that we went to together at Barclays Center, where she was in that glittery blue cat suit and she's
well, imagine that, but you're
off.
50 feet away from her.
That's crazy. That's
and Jay-Z no, and Jay-Z's
so
there.
Yeah, that's
watching.
Crazy. That's nuts.
It was such a great venue.
Anyway,
Gaga did that, and then her third thing was she started her Art Pop Ball tour, and so she did these three completely different shows, gave completely different like. Concepts and performances for each of them, and like I don't know, like whatever you think of Lady Gaga, everybody out there listening, like she's I don't know, she's fully like realizing and actualizing everything she's envisioned for herself, and
you
that's,
know what
you gotta admire that.
And she might not give like objectively or whatever, she might not absolutely hit a grand slam every single time, but she bring it to you every ball.
She's bringing something. And you
yeah,
know,
something. And she's always exciting to watch. And that's what I say about her all the time is it's like, even if you're not a big fan, you are always going to be interested in what she's doing.
You're tuning in for sure.
It's Madonna.
For me, like it's as simple as at the end, like when Lady Gaga finishes a performance, she sticks that last pose, she hits it, and she says, that was my piece. That's what I have to bring to you here. Like, for example, I just watched Ariana Grande do, what'd she do, SNL recently or whatever?
Yeah.
She like laughed her way through those performances. Ugh. Like she was like doing the choreography. She finished that final pose and she just was like, her glance to the camera was like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I just like vogued around the stage.
I mean, none of it's as bad as Selena Gomez.
That's a whole different story, but like the lack of commitment to what they're doing, or like
they think it's too frivolous. It's like this isn't serious. And you know what? This is a good thing for all performers to talk about. Is like, And I have this issue too, where I just don't take myself seriously on stage, and like I don't give it my, like 100% whenever I do something. It's like, no, like just commit to it. You know,
you're giving you're giving people permission to like doubt what you're bringing to the stage.
Yeah, exactly. And I hate that. And it's so present in what people do.
And I have a hard time, and I'm learning how to deal with that myself. So anyway,
I agree with you. I think that's really
love. Lady Gaga will love her till my last dying day.
Yep. We talked about this, David and I, and Matt, you too. We're going to see her when we're fucking 60 years old. Oh. She's going to be 70, whatever.
Just post up in Vegas. She'll be making monthly pilgrimages.
Yep.
She will be doing that. And you know what? Actually, I was listening to What's the Tea recently, the RuPaul's podcast with Michelle Visage. And they were talking about
who looked snatched last night, by the way.
Michelle Visage is so fucking good.
She had it on point. Her critiques were on point.
She
her bronzer was on point.
Bronzer,
she went to the tanning
her
booth.
Those baby bangs.
I'm like a huge fan of her.
I would agree.
She's getting better and better.
She's
fucking great. And they were saying about all of them going to Vegas now. So Mariah's in Vegas. Of course, Celine's in Vegas. Britney's in Vegas. J-Lo's in Vegas.
They were
specifically talking about J-Lo in Vegas. And you know, Michelle was saying, like, I get why Mariah's in Vegas now because it feels like that's the stage of her career that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
But J-Lo, that's not really the stage of her career she's in.
What would you say? People are begging for new J-Lo?
I think that she still has hit songs, and I think that she's still able to perform them at the level that she always has.
Whereas Mariah, she
can't put out new material, and it's going to fucking
knock
you on
your
ass.
Yeah, no, we want to hear Always Be My Baby. We want to hear Honey.
Exactly.
And that's when Vegas time. It's Vegas time's greatest hits.
They were saying, but why are they all going to Vegas? Like, we get Britney, we get Mariah, we get Celine, because just where they're at, but why is J-Lo in Vegas? And Rue was saying that she thinks that Vegas is now like a different thing.
It is.
It's not like the I'm in the, you know, twilight of my career now and I'm going to Vegas so I die. It's like people do it and they do it for like 2 years and they make serious money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, of course.
It's so much easier than touring.
The costs are like way lower.
Exactly. It's so much more profitable.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree with that.
And
well,
you can also change
a
lot.
Let's plan a trip.
I would love to go.
I'm trying to plan. That'll be the next one for us to go to. We go on several trips together, which this will be the segue.
We'll talk about this.
We'll get there. But honestly, I think that we have to go to Vegas, especially while J-Lo's there.
We will.
I would love to go see J-Lo. Also, I bet she'd have like a shot. I don't know about seeing Mariah.
All right. We can talk
about this off air. But my thing is, like, I bet J-Lo would have such a surprising amount of hits.
Mm.
Like, you'd hear a song and you'd be like, oh, this, like, I forgot this. Like, but so many of her songs give me my life. And I'm just going to say one that every time I hear, I'm like,
Get Right.
Oh, this song. Get Right! Oh, my God. I love Get Right. That song secretly gives me my life.
If that's the one that's like, and
like, then she starts singing and you're kind of like, oh, stop. But it's really good.
It's a good song.
I agree.
She sometimes is on her tracks. I also love, let me introduce you to my party people in the club.
Oh my God. Honestly, my boyfriend Ariel's listens to this. He's just going to scream. And he teaches Soul Cycle. And I just recently they do like theme rides.
Yes.
And they did a J-Lo theme ride. And I went because he loves her so fucking much. I was like, let me just go see this boy. I just absolutely
fag
out
for
J-Lo. He put on Play.
Oh yeah,
that one, like, I completely forgot about that song.
Come on, play
and
that
song. For those of you out there who Soul Cycle, you know, it's like you're either like running so fast you're gonna die, or you're like the resistance is up and you're going halftime.
Yeah,
and we were going halftime to Play, and I was
getting
my whole fucking life.
Honestly, this is also the second week in a row we've talked about her.
Yeah, we talked about last
week.
Episode.
Last week we gave her the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, you know what? Wow, Lifetime.
We gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award.
We were talking about American Idol.
Because we're talking about American Idol, our topic was American Idol coming to an end.
Oh my God, her performance.
Yeah,
I
snatched.
Mean, she knows snatched. Now, though, that, yeah, snatched is definitely the word. But also, she just knows now that, like, no matter what, she's just going to, like, sing whatever song she's trying to promote now and then, like, rip off her dress in samba for, like, 2 minutes.
Could you believe she was singing live? I couldn't believe her the gall. I was like, this is, you know what, though? It might not have sounded great, but she was doing it.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to hear the auto-tune on those mics because the way you can tell is when they speak to the audience, when they're like, come on, or, like, whatever. It's, like, very pitched.
And tinny.
And tinny.
I mean, Katy Perry at the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
I was like, how is she not missing a note? Oh, wait.
That mic was chewing up her voice and spitting out something else.
I think of an image of J-Lo performing at the World Cup. and just being in the stadium.
Let's get loud.
I mean, like,
people love that fucking song.
I know. It's her fucking torch song.
Latin America. Any country in Latin,
as she gets buried, they're gonna play "Let's Get Loud." They're gonna lower into the,
you know what?
Into the ground.
Sure,
they're gonna be
has...
like, "Let's get loud,
oh my God.
Let's get loud." It's gonna be like a fucking
that like gets
party.
Like 58-year-old men up off their seats.
Absolutely,
that's like the
also,
wedding song.
The best part of her American Idol performance, the best part,
I didn't
was she, of course she whipped out
those
"Let's
fans?
Get Loud." No, it was well the fans are pretty good, and she was giving you such Vegas with all that.
Oh yeah,
she
was come
like, "See
see
me
the
in
show,
Vegas,
yeah.
bitch."
You're damn right, she was.
Get your money, and then but. The best was, you know, the note in "Let's Get Loud" where it's like, "Let's get loud," where she goes all the way up.
Yes.
And it's a full fucking
did
belt.
Did she hit it?
She goes, "Let's get," and then the most tracked thing happens where just like the track goes, her voice, "Loud," and it was just like, she just made this face that made it look like she was doing it, but she had to cut out. It was just so clear and obvious.
Whatever.
But I was like, you know what? You're entertaining.
She's a triple threat.
For your life.
Through and through.
I feel like.
And also, these two bitches didn't respond to a text that I sent them, which was, I said to you guys,
oh no.
I feel that at the end of her life, Jayla will be looked back on as a legend.
I agree.
And I,
you never texted us this.
Yes,
I
did. I did.
Oh, come
on. Because who else would I have said that to if it wasn't you two?
I agree that we definitely, we may or may not have gotten that text. Well,
I don't remember.
The jury's out on this one.
Bitch, don't accuse me.
There was no response given.
There are dagger eyes being thrown across this room right now, everyone.
Okay,
I
honey,
wish you could feel it.
Let's move on to some current events, shall we?
I think it's time to move on to current events because we obviously can't see eye to eye.
Stalemate.
This
is the J-Lo stalemate.
This is what we go down history as the J-Lo stalemate.
We 10,000 points to Gryffindor if we bring up J-Lo every episode.
rule number 103 of culture, the J-Lo
stalemate.
The way you just said that, the J-Lo stalemate.
Well, I was Garth and Kat again. I was like trying to.
You were
read your lips.
Garth and Kat. I guess that's like a pretty gay reference at this point.
It's pretty gay. Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, let's move on to some culture. Speaking of gay,
we must talk current events, and this episode is coming out at a pretty
sensitive time
because. Wow. This last episode of Drag Race called Politics.
Shady Politics. It's
Shady Politics. And let me tell you, we saw the sashaying awaying of Thorgy Thor.
Fan favorite.
The one and only.
The one and only. But here's the tea, guys. That was very deserved. That was not.
I'm not.
And let me tell you what really pissed me off. The way that she lip synced. And I am telling you, I'm not.
Okay.
Going.
Can I tell you something? I told David this earlier. I was at a viewing party last night at TNT, hosted by the wonderful, inimitable Ruby Roo and equally wonderful Ragamuffin.
Exceptional Ruby Roo.
Kisses, Ruby.
Kisses. Hi,
can't
Ruby.
Can't wait for Ruby to be on the show. Ruby.
Honestly, a beat to
and
slay.
And Ragamuffin.
I, both of them. Beats to slay the band.
Beats to slay the band. And Ragamuffin last night, you guys, I have to tell you, Ragamuffin was wearing this like short page boy wig, and she was wearing this knit vest that had like little food on it, like
that's
like,
so
like
funny.
Little like little patches of like a peach and an apple and a fork, and then on the very back of this knit vest was just one slice of watermelon, and it was the funniest fucking thing.
That's so funny.
Anyway, so they hosted it, and like you could tell, like I went into this episode being like, I'm worried for Thorgy. And then Ragamuffin and Thorgy and Ruby Roo, like very good friends of Thorgy Thor, were just like in really sour moods. And then my friend Aaron Jackson and I were like, they're in bad mood. This is not going to be good for Thorgy. And then after the episode finishes airing, Thorgy just gets eliminated. Everyone in Brooklyn, she's a Brooklyn girl. This is her home. This is her home turf. Everyone's really sad and
especially
disappointed.
Especially TNT.
At TNT, where Thorgy used to host viewing parties for Drag Race. Ragamuffin takes the stage and she goes, I have some tea. Well, first of all, she said that before the episode aired, because Ragamuffin's been traveling with Thorgy Thor as her assistant when Thorgy's been touring. And so before the episode aired, Ragamuffin was like, I have some tea. And then at that point, that was another giveaway. It was like, oh, well, something shitty is going to happen to Thorgy. So anyway, Ragamuffin goes, as you all know, all the queens, all the contestants on Drag Race get a list of all their Lip Sync for Your Life songs in order for each episode. So they know ahead of time what to prepare for.
Oh my God.
And I am telling you I'm not going.
I know where this is going.
And I am telling you I'm not going was meant for next week. And here's the additional tea. They were told, all the queens were told that they would be judged, even though they were being paired up for their challenges, they would be judged individually. Mm-hmm. So everyone's like, cool, great. And then it wasn't until critiques where you had Kimchi, Thorgy Thor, and Chi-Chi sort of in the bottom. It wasn't until after they went into the Untucked Lounge that the producers come up to them and go, hi guys, change of plans. You're all being judged as duos. And the song this week is being switched to And I Am Telling You I'm Not Going. And Ragamuffin said, and she didn't say anything beyond that, but the insinuation was that they were rigging that elimination for Chi Chi versus Thorgy so that Chi Chi could out lip sync Thorgy in a Dreamgirls number.
So they wanted Chi Chi
to remain on the show.
Okay.
That hurts.
I think that is really shitty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it really sucks to hear.
Yeah.
But it's what, reality
but,
TV.
But here's what I'm going to say.
She didn't do well on the challenge.
She didn't do well on the challenge, and the runway was the weakest runway.
I thought it was great.
You know what?
I didn't get the wig.
To be honest, I didn't get the wig. But I really love Thorgy. I thought Thorgy was for sure top
so
three.
So dynamic.
And so here's the thing. Like, if you're judging it based on what it is for this week, or you're judging it as a competition, and that's always the kind of thing with these elimination shows, is it like, do you judge it based on this, and then on the final lip sync? And my thing is, yes, you do.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't bring it this week with the runway and with the challenge. And if you're a gay man and if you're a drag queen,
you know,
you're prepared for And I Am Telling You Not Going.
Sure.
And you don't make it a character thing. You deliver that song.
Do you want to know, did you watch Untucked?
I haven't watched Untucked yet.
I'm not going to spoil too much, but Bob has this moment. Another fan favorite, Bob the drag queen,
yeah,
who we've all seen
who
live.
Who now has no competition. No,
literally, Bob,
sailing,
the winner of season
through.
8, Bob the drag queen.
It's so inevitable. So anyway, Bob just like is gathering all the girls around. She's like, all right, guys, just come here. And she goes, do you guys know when Effie sings this song? Like at what point in the show? Like Bob's like, everyone's seen Dreamgirls, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And she goes, okay, good. Whoever's lip syncing tonight, just remember that this is the lowest point in that character's entire life. She's lost her boyfriend. She's lost her career. She's lost, like,
that's a lip sync for your life.
And she goes, and Bob goes, and she's so right. And Bob goes, this is the perfect lip sync for your life.
There's
song.
There's no better song.
Because you're begging to
it's
stay.
The opening lyric is, and I'm telling you,
exactly.
I'm not going.
It's the title. And it's like, you have to stay.
And I'm sorry, but Thorgy did it with a smile on her face.
That goddamn cartwheel
and
at the end, the cartwheel
it
that put the nail
goofy
in the coffin, as far as I'm concerned.
It was too goofy.
There was no characterization.
We wanted like a Latrice
song.
Royale
it was
giving
just
the
give,
to her baby moment.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That was, and honestly, Chi Chi Devane slayed that lip sync. You know what? Do I think that sucks what you just said? Yes, but like there's no reason
but
for
think
that.
Of, but think of the alternative. If they had been judged individually, the bottom two might have been Kimchi and Thorgy or Kimchi and Chi Chi.
And
Kimchi would have gone in either of those cases.
I think absolutely they want to keep
So they want to keep Kimchi and Chi Chi. And they said Thorgy at that point was just cannon fodder, which I think sucks. But then also here's and you just brought up this thing of like, well, do you judge them based on the entire competition holistically or on an episode to episode basis? And I think I'm talking really fast.
No, I'm following you.
The competition is designed in a way that doesn't reward people who consistently do well in the challenges like Thorgy, but has mediocre queens coast through like Derek Barry.
Oh my God, the worst. Derek, if you're listening, I'm sorry, honey, but
what
is going on?
You know what?
On,
you're
bro.
Garbage.
My thing, here's what I think. And again, I really love Thorgy.
Me too.
What I wanted from the beginning was a New York top three. And I thought it was very possible. And to be honest with you, I think that would have been a great top three. But,
I agree. Acid, I know you're somewhere out there in the world we really miss. We would have loved you on the runway.
Love
for
Acid.
More
I mean,
episodes.
Yeah. And my thing is like, and again, like.
Oh, she's so conflicted.
I'm conflicted, but Thorgy was not going to win the show. I don't think Thorgy is America's Next Drag Superstar in a show where Bob the drag queen is there.
But
and I get the rooting for the underdog thing. It's the same reason why people want Bernie Sanders, I think. It's new. It's like fresher. It's Brooklyn, which is
ooh,
cool.
We are drawing a drag race.
Well, don't think that
US
I'm not
politics.
Coming. Don't think that I'm not hitting. We're not hitting that topic either, honey. That's another current event.
Bob the drag queen is Hillary. Thorgy Thor is Bernie. Derek Barry is Donald Trump.
Let's say, yes, that's true.
I feel very comfortable with that.
So, here's
Derek Barry would have to be smarter to be Donald Trump.
Here's my deal.
You're Ted Cruz.
You're saying Thorgy Thor is not top, is not winner material.
I said Thorgy Thor is top three. Thorgy Thor reminds me, it's the same energy as Adore Delano, where it's like, you like her, you really want her to do well, she's always doing well, she's great, she's a fun personality, but then when it gets down to it, when there's a Bianca there, you don't say Bianca Del Rio. You're not America's Next Drag Superstar. Bob the Drag Queen has been crushing RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, crushing it.
And we all knew before.
I mean, he's just so unique. I mean, if you've never seen a Bob the Drag Queen show, I mean, now it's going to be fucking impossible. So good fucking luck.
She was at Barracuda this Monday.
I almost went. She just, it's the perfect combination of everything you love about drag. And then also this whole other side, this comedian, this
it's the, one
performer,
of the funniest shows
personality.
In New York.
You just want him to host everything. It's, you know,
he makes
you watch
commentary.
Untucked,
yeah.
You watch the Untucked is Bob the Drag Queen show right now.
Absolutely. Oh, and if you weren't familiar with any of Bob the Drag Queen stuff, listeners, look up two videos. Look up one where Bob handles a heckler or a drunk person at his show mm-hmm. in the most graceful way possible. Doesn't mm-hmm. antagonize them.
He's a pro.
Doesn't even patronize them at all.
It's just like, hey, you can't do that. Like, here's the transaction. I'm performing on stage. You watch me. That's it.
He's like, wait, stop the track.
Exactly.
I saw this video.
It's such a good example of any performer out there, like handling like shitty people like that in your audiences, but not in a shitty way. That's back.
Remaining fully and effortlessly in control.
Exactly. In the second video, guys, look up Bob the Drag Queen, God Warrior. It is the most
It's the
incredible.
One I scream at. It's like
it's
taking
amazing.
Requests.
It changed my life.
I have to say, it's a shame that there's not more lip sync challenges or like lip sync, that it's not really a part of the show because so many of them do it so well and you would only see it if they did badly in the challenge. And for queens like Bob who just aren't going to do badly in a challenge, you never get to see like what Bob can do.
Or Thorgy. Thorgy has had equal... Thorgy, I think, is a peer of Bob's in the lip sync front. Like I know
Thorgy doing the Lion King that online
is
amazing.
I know Thorgy like did not do a good lip sync against Chi Chi for Dreamgirls, but I wish there was a video somewhere because I saw this live one time at TNT. Thorgy did this lip sync of this voicemail of a CVS employee leaving a voicemail for a man. This must have been a crank call, but being like, hi, your anal wart cream is in and your micro penis medication is in as well. And like, blah, 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 blah. And your adult diapers and all this stuff. And like, but she mixed it in such a funny way to this dance beat and was so good.
That's something that a lot of queens are doing now. They're sort of like taking songs and like putting like a comedic spin on them and like in the way that they chop them up with others. And I always wondered like what would that be like if there was a challenge on Drag Race where they were allowed to choose their own lip sync song and sort of like
it would be
a blank stage and they could just be like, well, do what you do. If this was your show and we were at your hometown bar, mm-hmm. what do you do with a blank stage?
Totally.
I think that's a totally component of being a drag queen these days. Yeah. It's not just getting up and lip syncing Britney Spears. It's like, what do you bring to the show that's going to put my butt in the seat? Because I can see drag queens anywhere I want now.
Like, what's
it's 2016, Henny.
Henny. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about primaries. Do we want to talk about primaries?
I don't know. You cut the RuPaul's Drag Race conversation right down.
Well,
we could talk for hours about this. I think editing ourselves
can I just
is a
ask
good
you guys,
idea.
Can I just ask you guys one question?
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think of Naomi Smalls and how far
gagged.
Is it going to go?
Gagged.
How far is it going to go? Because can I tell you something?
Her pads
she
were...
definitely did really well, but...
That look
I
was
get,
straight up Raven.
I get that, that...
But that was a nod to Raven.
I get that it was a nod, but it was the same thing. It was
stitch
almost
for
like,
stitch, it was the same
It was
exact
almost
outfit.
Like watching a model wear something and then buying it right off the rack. That was bought right off the rack from Raven, and I felt like, sure, it's an homage, but was it creative?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I'm going to be honest. I didn't recall the Raven outfit until they did the side-by-side.
Mm-hmm. And she voluntarily gave that information up.
Yeah, well, you know what? Then it's clear that it was a choice, which is something I can respect. Maybe not understand, but respect. Doesn't feel as rip-offy to me if she's fully aware of what's
she's
happening.
Citing her sources.
She's citing
agree.
Her sources.
There's a bibliography.
I know, but I don't. But that to me is it's
wait,
like.
Let's start bibliography.
The bibliography, honey.
But here's the thing. You cite your sources. Yeah, there's the bibliography.
Honey.
But the thing is, like, is America's Next Drag Superstar a fan?
Is America's Next Drag Superstar, like, derivative of another drag queen?
I don't think so.
You
that
know
bothered
That's
me.
An interesting point there, Matt. I would agree that we want America's next drag superstar, not America's like most
biggest
like,
fan biggest, of Drag Race. Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that would be me or you or maybe well, the three be, of us together.
It would be Bowen, but
no.
I mean, Bowen. Bowen.
Okay, so now we don't want the title. Bowen. Bowen. Now we're passing the title around.
Bowen it's legendarily in something I call hashtag Katya Gate.
Oh my God! Never
spoiled
forget.
Spoiled the dismissal of Katya, and it was a wedge.
It's
and
so funny you say this because my friend Carl last night posted
spoiled the Thorgy elimination.
I said to him the moment he put it up, I said, "You better take that down, or you're going to lose some friends." And he goes, "I don't care. They can unfollow me." And I go, "Oh,
no, that is not the
no,
attitude.
No.
That is serious." And also was truly mad at Bowen for that. And also, I'm going to call him out and put him on blast right now. Joshua D. Sharp.
Oh, come on.
In the text thread, ruined it for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
Joshua D. Sharp.
It took everything in me not to tweet about it.
He'll be summoned to the Las Culturistas recording
tribunals,
and you will be. There'll be a face down. There'll be daggers.
I am pleading the fifth on this one.
There'll be daggers.
Anyway, we should move on and talk about the primaries, honey. I cast my vote
today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, honey. So did I.
Should I ask you who you voted for? You don't have
voted for Hillary Clinton.
Good, great.
And David and I talked about it yesterday. He voted for Bernie Sanders.
Great. I did vote for Bernie, and I agree with you, Bowen. You posted a status recently about just supporting either candidate, and
we don't have to make the other person feel anyone feel bad about their choice.
No, I don't feel bad about it. No one's gonna make me feel bad about
it. No, we had a good conversation about it last night on the subway. I definitely would never strive to make anyone feel badly about who they voted for. I fucking hate all the shit that everyone says online when it's negative about either candidate. It's so stupid.
It's just
shut up.
It's ridiculous. I agree. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday, and it's just kind of about, it's about, I think I have a sort of a connection with the personality of Bernie, and he feels like somebody I know in a weird way. And I just think that new blood in the White House for me is something that I'm attracted to. I really, you know, I've watched a lot of House of Cards, so I know a lot about the White House and how it works and how shady it is.
It's a shade fest,
it's
honey.
It's
the shade tree.
And, like, it's the shade tree.
The White House is the shade tree.
Wow.
Honestly.
R.I.P. the shade tree, I guess. What the fuck?
Apparently, it's an online thing, and it's not so much like on the episode things. Oh. Like, but they're not really doing a good job at
promoting it. We're back to Drag Race, y'all.
Somehow got back here. But listen, I gotta say, I went and voted. It took me one fucking second.
Yeah, same. Also, the polling place was 20 seconds down from my
me
from
too
where I live. So funny. And also, Anna Dresden actually you know, brought this up today online, but they did not check my ID.
Me either. They didn't ask me for anything. They were just
I
like,
could have went
you
were... I could have went to where you voted and said hi, I'm David Mazzoni, and known your address, and like literally written like
cast
signed
my
your
vote.
Signature, and I could have voted for you. And I think that's a problem.
I agree 1000%. I was so shocked by it.
Yeah.
But also, like, the whole, like, I don't know. I mean, part of it feels very, like I mean, you're in an elementary school, so maybe that's why I felt it, but it felt very, like, class education, like,
I flat
class
out, yeah.
Council, like,
election.
Voting, election.
Yeah. Sure.
I flat out had to ask a question. I was a little confused. I didn't know how many delegates you were eligible to vote for.
I didn't know.
I was like, what is this? And then it was in very small font up at the top, like, seven.
Six.
But I did have to ask somebody. I'm like, hi, excuse me. How do I do this? Like, I was, like, had my
it
ballot.
It was seven? I only picked six.
I think it was different in the districts.
Voting literacy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in Brooklyn, where I lived, you could do the seven. And I voted for... All
I felt
the delegates
very uncomfortable
that were pledged
for that
to my
part.
Do I know?
Like, I don't know any of these people.
They
like,
list they list the genders of each delegate.
Yes, they did. Male, female.
Which is
I agree.
So interesting. Like, why? I don't know. Does it matter?
What's important about that?
You know what? I didn't think about that. That's really interesting.
It did say parentheses M and F next to all of their names.
That is really weird.
Anyway,
well, I'm not gonna. I felt uncomfortable with that part because I just didn't know any of them, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm not just gonna blindly vote here, though I did.
Well, based on who they were.
So what did you just check down who they were?
I checked the people who were in line with who I supported.
Yeah, of course.
People who pledged for Bernie.
Right, exactly. But
can we get results right now?
No, the ballots, polls aren't closing until like.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of time.
Or nine
but
or
honestly, though, I went to the polls and it literally happened in 3 seconds. And then I went to the post office around the corner.
And it took longer?
And it literally took an hour and 10 minutes to get my fucking package. Which had my turtleneck in it for Amazing Earth. We're wearing turtlenecks.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I needed it.
But I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God. Like, it made me a little nervous though. I was like, is no one showing up to vote or do they just have their shit together?
That's what I mean.
I mean, I breezed right in and out. There was nobody in that gym.
The reason why I'm not really contributing to this conversation is because I'm registered in Colorado, which I think is very important as sort of the pseudo swing state. Mm-hmm. I would like to vote in Colorado for the general, but Colorado holds caucuses and not primaries. If it held a primary, I would have been able to submit an absentee vote. But for caucuses, you have to be in a room full, like a gymnasium full of other fucking randos
who
talk about it and try to convince you and sway you. And I don't want to do that. I just didn't have the time to fly home. It's not that I didn't want to. It's not that I didn't want to engage in that, but it was just like, I didn't want to fly. I couldn't fly home. So anyway, I'm holding my tongue until the general.
Well, here we go. That's he's going to hold his tongue, bitch. And and so basically now we go to almost an hour in. We're going to hit up the topic of our episode, which, bitch, is Orlando realness.
Orlando realness, honey.
So David Bowen and I talked a little bit about future vacations, but it all
based began
on the shoulders of one of the great vacations, I think, of our lifetimes.
Truly one of the best vacations of my life.
Like, truly on a whim. Well, not for us. We were like, David, are you going to come or not? And you were being hesitant.
I just wasn't sure if, like, we were really doing it or not.
Sure.
And, like, I was also, like, in a place where I was like, am I just going to just go to Orlando for no reason? And then I thought about it and was like, fuck it. I had, like, a week. And I was like, let me just go with my sisters to a theme park for 4 days.
Well, it was, and, like, this is so much more. We were going to do Disney World. And so
we're going to do Universal.
We were going to do both.
Yeah.
But then it was like this thing. Well, we did, but that wasn't what the plan was when we found out how expensive it would be to do both.
So Matt and I were booking the vacation.
Yeah. And we're like, okay, so I guess let's just do Disney because maybe it'll be too expensive to do both because Universal Orlando's prices, they were not fucking around.
No.
It was like, now they have Harry Potter and all that shit. They're like, jacked them up. Mm-hmm. But so we were going to do Disney for days and days, like 4 days.
Yeah.
It was four nights in Orlando.
Yes.
Which was the content, hashtag content, that appeared from the trip.
Yes.
Anyway, more on that later, I guess. So then we were there and we were just truly baked the whole time because David created these weed
Rice Krispies.
The crispy spooky treats.
So I had acquired some butter, some weed butter, just to go back to Rhode Island.
Why don't you give the recipe right here to all of our listeners?
Honestly, guys, it's super fucking complex. You take a bag of marshmallows, melt them in a pan, add an entire box of Rice Krispies, and a pad of weed butter. I did actually about a full stick of weed butter.
Oh, wow.
Which,
no wonder.
They come in sticks just like grocery stores?
Well, not really, but like you sort of eyeballed it and measured it out. Like it was the recipe called for...
How did you make the weed butter?
So the weed butter was made by somebody in my family who remained nameless.
Did he or she churn it? Like, what was it?
Well, basically, like, like they harvested the entire weed plant and like pulled all the butt off of it that was smokable. And then there's like a lot of stuff on the weed plant that's like not really like you can't really roll a blunt with it. You can't really put it in a bowl, but it's got THC. It's covered in sticky stuff. You can use it.
So you use the whole buffalo.
So my not my dad, but somebody I know. Okay, fuck it. It was my dad.
I've already said it.
Yeah, whatever.
I've already outed him in his criminal activity.
My dad doesn't have the capability of listening to a podcast anyway, so who cares?
Sounds like you're not one that's this long.
Nope. But anyway, he basically like puts it in a crock pot and leaves it for like 4 days. All the trimmings, he purees all of it, puts it in with like pounds and pounds of butter and just lets it sit on high in a crock pot for evs. And it just drains everything out of the weed plant. And then he throws all that stuff out and he brings the butter to New York City and gives me like Tupperwares full of it.
Fascinating. And I say something about these treats? I was very concerned that I would...
Bowen's very sensitive to marijuana.
And I was concerned that I would just be so sluggish the entire day.
No, give you life.
Can I tell you something? It was the perfect... It was the perfect balance between just like this euphoric sense of like wonder and happiness. I'm like, oh, I'm having the best time of my life.
Everything was so funny.
And everything was so funny. And it was all this, everything blended.
Hashtag weed.
Can I tell you something? And so, yeah. And so we quote unquote recorded this series, this Instagram series that was
like literally edited in line for Thunder Mountain. Like,
can I tell you,
so funny.
Matt, we did not need a single fucking map. Matt knew the layout to every single park we were in.
God, I'm going to out myself right now. I am an absolute monster when it comes to Orlando.
Yeah.
I regularly am like, what if I just hung it all up and moved to Orlando?
No, no, no.
Honestly, his ashes will be spread on the streets of Orlando.
It's like, if J-Lo's getting lowered to Let's Get Loud, I'm getting lowered to like, a dream is a wish your heart and be.
I'll make sure of that.
We're going to spread Matt's ashes at the what is it called? Phantasmic?
Oh, yeah, the Phantasmic, like, spectacular?
Which, by the way,
we
gave,
got soaked at.
Got so wet at it. Like, and also, like, you get so, it's so funny because all those rides are so great, but like there's in every ride, there's that moment where like something explodes,
yeah.
You get a little sprinkle and like, but like if there's not a fire effect, it's not a ride at Universal Studios.
I feel like in Disney, it was like whatever ride you were on, it was like a magical adventure through a world.
Yeah.
And the whole time, I have such a fond memory of us being on the Snow White ride.
Yeah.
And us going by at the end, there's like we go through like Snow White searching for all the dwarves. And then at the end, it's Snow White like dancing in like the room with all of them. Like,
yeah.
And we were just screaming like, yes, Snow White.
Well, we screamed yes on every ride.
Every ride.
Space Mountain in the dark, the three of us in that car.
I've never heard you make the sounds that you made, David.
On Space Mountain, all three of us just screamed, yes!
And it was like literally the whole time.
It was that point in the night where,
and it's not just the three of us on it.
No.
There's some strangers.
Plenty of people on it. But what I loved about that was like every time we whizzed past another car, I guarantee they just heard like, like just us just being like,
oh
like,
my god,
it's so
there's
true.
there's a photo of me and David just sitting on Big Thunder Mountain, the train, the minecart ride, and just us being so fucking blazed and
I took a video. I tried to take a video of us. I was like, Bowen, we have to do this entire ride completely deadpan, like
I remember when you did that, and I was sitting by myself like getting my
life.
Joy,
and I was like, no, Bowen, like completely stone faced the whole time. We couldn't do it at the merriment. It was just too much.
It was so funny.
But then when we went to Universal, it was like every ride was like, we need your help.
Yeah, I know,
you're the only one
he has a briefing.
Or it's like, ooh, it's gonna be an experience, but something just went wrong. Yeah, it's like, no.
And you're the only one who can help us. And then by the end, it's like, thank you, patron. You've done it.
You're literally doing the Transformers ride.
There's truly.
You get in, and it's like, you're under attack. And we're like, oh, okay. All right.
Alrighty.
Every ride, every single attraction at Universal and Disney has a Joseph Campbell hero's journey. An arc to it, you know. You're out of the world. You interface with the unknown, and then you come back and you're stronger.
I'm not even gonna lie, it's literally why I do theater and comedy. Because I was so obsessed. God. I think that those theme parks are theater.
Those are formative.
No,
formative culture.
You know what, Matt? I agree with you on that.
Like when you go in and it's like the pre-show and they set you up and then you move through it. Like honestly, I think it's so fucking good and smart.
Mm-hmm. Imagineers, they're the engineers for all these rides at Disney. At least that's like the fancy title.
Yes,
it's the perfect combination of engineering. Of technology mixed with creativity and
interior
art.
Design, honey.
And interior design,
and here's
honey.
The difference between and the content at Universal. I mean, maybe this is controversial, but it is better.
I'm sure
it's better.
It is
sound
better
off
than,
in the comments.
It's much better than what you're getting at Disney, at least for now.
I mean,
they say that they're going to have Avatar Land and Star Wars Land, but like it's always so far off, and they've been saying it for so long. I'm just over it. At least Universal like delivers on their promises to create new content and new experiences. But anyway,
wow.
Like all the
shade.
Attractions at Universal, like even the ones for like little kids, are just so much better.
So fun.
And also it's just such a better vacation experience. I would encourage anyone that's like trying to go down there to go to Universal, even if it's a little bit more expensive, because you're
huge.
Able to walk
huge.
Yeah, we caught that up. Remember when we were going into the park and we were like, oh, so it's gonna be okay. It's like $390 or whatever.
Yeah, we bought the express passes and they were like, so it's gonna be $1,000.
But not by choice. Matt was literally like, we're getting the express passes.
But there was a moment where all of us were like, should we do this?
But then we were like, fuck it. And we did both parks in Universal in one
because
day.
Of Matt Rogers. He knew exactly where everything was, what the itinerary should have been, what time we should have been,
what
places.
We should skip.
Oh my god, you guys, Matt is such a resource. I cannot recommend him.
I literally valuable. if anyone wants to go, I'll go with you.
We'll be going back, but I think we need to bring like a full-scale production crew.
Full crew.
I think that like now that we've gone with just the three of us, we've been there, we've done it, we've seen the lay of the
and
land.
And people have seen the fun that we've had on these
trips.
I
think, and honestly, everything there is so good. And also, we haven't even talked about Harry Potter, which is so fucking magical.
Hashtag gags for Gringotts.
Gags for Gringotts.
Hashtag.
No, the best was when we had gotten off Gringotts, like, and we had done it, we had it had been well over, and like we had moved on and done maybe 5-6 other rides. And we were discussing what we thought was the best thing we had done so far, and David goes, "I was gagged for Gringotts."
I was gagged for Gringotts.
I think the quote of the vacation was, "You can't even get your life when you when you." So we got on the like the Flume ride, Dudley Do Right, and Bowen's in his fucking poncho. We were all in these ponchos because we got a little bit wet.
And you
on
know
that
how
ride.
Somebody one person on those things always gets fucking
gets
nailed.
Yeah, yeah,
everyone's like kind of moist, and then somebody just gets ruined.
Really wet. Yeah. And so like it's Bowen. And he couldn't get out of his seat. And we were just so one track and so high. We were like, and I just looked at him and I was like, "You can't even get your life.
You can't even get your
because
life."
Because here's what happened. Here's what happened.
Oh my God.
We were at such a fugue state. We were
I
in such a fugue
as.
State that all of our words, all of our sentences ended with the words, get your life. Like we were like, "Oh, I'm hungry. Let's go get our life." Like, yeah.
Like I'm going to get my life.
Do you want to get your life or get your life? I want to
get my
life.
Okay.
And we got to the point where you knew what we were saying.
Oh,
like,
God.
Do you want to get your life or get your life?
Get your life.
Okay.
Yeah. We I'm trying to get my life to these
men
chicken
black.
Tenders. Honestly, if I had a dollar for every chicken tender I ate in Disney World, I would be fucking
I want to say that it was the most chicken tenders I've ever eaten. But
it's
you
not
guys
true,
know
bitch.
My diet, and you know that I eat a lot of chicken
More.
Tenders. I ate some today.
Yep.
There you go.
Shout out to Chicken Tenders.
Shout out to the Arby's on 8th Ave.
Honestly, this podcast is sponsored by Chicken Tenders.
By
yeah,
chicken tenders.
For real, though, at this point.
Wow.
But it was so fucking good, and I encourage anyone to go. And literally now, you have to really convince me to go otherwise.
In
to
October,
go elsewhere.
In October, I'm going to Shanghai with my family and my sister and I. And
oh, that's
going to
be so fun.
My brother-in-law, we're going to check out Disney Shanghai, which is the biggest theme park that has ever been built.
That's going to be incredible.
That's
going to
be amazing. I have such a problem with the
international
Walt Disney World in Orlando because it's too fucking far to get everywhere. I remember like it just like it kind of sucks to have to take the buses everywhere.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I get that they'll be able to do whatever they want for years to come because they have the land for it, but it's really a suck when you have to wait 45 minutes to an hour to get to the park.
Yeah, that
and then
is
if you
want
to do something else, because every park has like 3 or 4 good things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the Hollywood Studios, you got your Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror and then that Toy Story ride, which
Tower
is pretty
Terror,
good.
Tower of Terror, which we got stuck on, remember?
Oh!
That was true terror.
All right. Wait. We have to go all the way back to the beginning of this. First of all,
we have to
just
mention
shout
this.
Out to whoever designed the waiting area in Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things
an
to
artist.
Look at.
Wonderful.
Just love all the cobwebs, love all the things that were about to happen but then stopped happening because of all of the mystery.
Yeah.
Beautiful set detail.
The people
detail.
Working there.
So mm-hmm. we're waiting forever. We finally get on the ride and we get up and we blast up with like it goes up a couple of floors and there's like little pieces of the story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's essentially like it's like a haunted house until it becomes the drop tower. Yeah.
And we get up to the top of it.
And then
and
we're,
it fucking stops.
And it opens and then we're facing this fucking like fake set hallway and then it stops. Then everyone in the
ooh, I just got chills thinking about it.
It's pitch black. Everyone on the ride is like, "Oh no!"
Because they create such an atmosphere too, where you're genuinely scared.
And we've already ridden it maybe 6 times, so like I know what to expect here. It's
and
gonna
we're
be like
stoned
you're
as fuck,
and we're so high.
Yeah,
and so basically, like it stops,
and then suddenly, like 10 minutes later,
the house lights
like,
come on.
House lights come on, and then some janitor custodian dude. Opens a side door that's literally like on our peripheral vision.
It's in the scene,
and he comes out and goes, "All right, guys, we need to get you out, and then we're gonna like walk you to this elevator, this real elevator, and take you down." And it was the veil had been lifted, like the illusion was completely shattered.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
It was a nuts experience for sure. But we did get to go on it. They were like, after that, everyone was like all scared. We were like, "Oh my god, ride's malfunctioning, so scary."
And they were like, "Honestly, do you guys want to go again? You can
we're
hop right back
like,
on." We were like,
"Fuck
yeah!" But we had to get out into the scene,
yeah.
which was so scary. I was like, "Oh, they're going to be a fucking ghost?"
Yeah.
I was like, "I don't want to get out where these ghosts were."
Honestly.
There's a ghost there.
Nuts.
But I really buy into it. I honestly revert back to my 7-year-old self every time where I'm like really in it.
Sure.
Like I said to my sister and I, we went years ago and my parents would do this thing halfway through the day where they were like, "We're going to go back to the pool. You guys do your thing." And my sister, who I had found out at the time was like a bigger stoner than even I was, had brought weed over in her car and we had went out and we smoked like in front of the Hard Rock Cafe. Like so paranoid, looking over our shoulders.
The best
like,
place to smoke.
Because we can't get blacklisted at Universal Orlando. I'd kill myself.
Honestly,
oh,
I would
so,
be
so
nervous for
literally
you.
Like we got stoned, and then we went to Poseidon's Fury. Remember Poseidon's Fury?
Oh, of course I
Which was like honestly pretty gay.
Very gay.
And like also that guy, that one actor that like kind of runs the whole thing. I was like, damn, this is like fully your show, bro. You're acting all computers and all voiceover recordings.
And doing stunts and cartwheels.
Doing stunts the whole gig.
Running the whole thing. And there's like a lot of fire in that one.
Mm-hmm, there's a lot of dialogue, a lot of fire, a lot of water, a lot
there's
on
like
you.
Supporting characters. There's like an arc.
And so basically like my sister and I were very high at it, and we had obviously done it before, and I hit her shoulder and I'm like, commit to the experience.
Oh.
And like I wanted it to seem like we really were in the tomb. Like I got very like
you were acting.
Literally,
coach.
We didn't talk the whole like 15 minutes that it is, and then we got out and she goes, I have to sit down, I feel like I'm gonna throw up. And we had to go sit down because she was like feeling really sick, and she was like, I'm so sorry, I'm ruining this. But I'm like, no, it's fine. But really I was like,
you put her through a Meisner exercise.
I did,
yes.
The acting made her sick.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get to I don't think so, honey.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about our trip, and now we are at the segment of the show called I Don't Think So, Honey. And it's when you all, each of us, all three of us, have 1 minute to rail against something in culture. Mm-hmm. Anything we hate. And you get to say, I don't think so, honey. And you take it down.
Great.
In 1 minute. And Bowen is going to be first.
I always go first.
Well, because
go
I
first.
Haven't thought about something yet. What am I not liking?
I'm ready to rock.
All right, fool.
Okay,
so
I'll go first.
He's going to go first.
As many times as you want, you can possibly just say the words,
I don't think so, honey.
Yeah, great. And a minute starts now.
All right, listen. So today I had a bunch of people at work to me. They're saying, oh, you voted. I was wearing my sticker. And I was like, yeah, of course I voted. And they were like, ugh, I don't vote. And I was like, I don't think so, honey.
I don't think so, honey.
Listen, if you don't vote, you are literally forfeiting your right to ever talk ill about the government again. Voting is literally one of the greatest privileges that we have in this country. There are so many countries in this world without the ability to have any influence on the government whatsoever. And if you forfeit your right to vote, you are literally forfeiting your ability to talk or to voice any opinion about anything that happens from here on out with the country. People telling me, like my friend, for example, Kyle, from he lives in North Carolina, and he's not voting. He's not sending in his absentee ballot. And I'm like, I don't think so, honey.
In North Carolina, bitches.
Absolutely not, bitch. And first of all, North Carolina, I don't think so.
I don't think so, honey.
I don't think so, honey. No way, miss. Please get your shit in order. But listen, and all I have to say is that if you are not voting, and there's a reason why you're not voting, I understand you might be frustrated with our government and the way that it works. But the bottom line is, democracy does not work if you do not vote.
Time!
That is 1 minute.
What an
impressive
missive. I think an influential I Don't Think So, Honey, for the
it's
podcast.
Topical, absolutely. It's topical. And listen, I can't.
And you segued into LGBT discrimination. I loved it. Wow, what a masterful I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay. That
could have
very
been a couple
good.
More, but you know what? It's
from just, the authority on I Don't Think So, Honey.
Absolutely.
I feel honored. Thank
so
you,
now
honey.
I should go, is what you're saying?
I can go. Okay, ready? All right. And a minute starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People that you work with that are your peers giving you notes on how to do your job.
Ooh.
Okay? I don't think so, honey, at the restaurant that I work at, other servers giving me notes on whether or not I rolled enough silverware. Worry about yourself, honey. I don't think so. Also, today I'm a tour guide on a bus, and you do it with one other person, and I don't think so, honey. My coworker came over to me and was like, I have some timing notes for you. Bitch, this is well not my first time doing it, and I don't think so, honey. Honey, because I can give you notes, but I'm not. At this time, you're my peer at this time. And until my manager comes on the bus and gives me a note, and I feel like I did something wrong, then I'll take their note. But you didn't hire me. You're not going to fire me. I don't think so, honey. If you have a problem, respectfully tell me what you think I should do, and don't say, so I have a note. Don't give me notes. Don't give me notes if you're my peer. Because I might be younger than you and prettier than you, but I know exactly what I'm doing, bitch. And I... don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. That is a risky I don't think so, honey, talking about your coworker.
It has me hot.
Oh.
Honestly, I'm putting the server coworker shit on blast this episode.
Yes.
I agree, though. Like, who cares?
Like, all right. Shut up. Shut up.
Okay.
Because guess what? We're giving them the experience. It's not like it doesn't have to be a perfect thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess
especially when you're working in a restaurant.
Miss Yang.
I guess it's Miss Yang's turn. I don't know if I'll be as impassioned.
Well,
as
I
you
guess
two.
Now the bar has been set.
Great.
Oh, so, Christ.
All right.
I don't think
so,
honey. Begins now.
I don't think so, honey. Noisy neighbors who throw outdoor parties on a Monday night well into 2 a.m. I had to call 911. Well, first of all, I had to look up whether 911 or 311 was the more appropriate number to file a noise to call in a noise complaint.
Definitely 311.
It was definitely 311. But then for some reason, some source, I think the NYC.gov page told me to direct me to 911. So I called 911 and they said, 911, what's your emergency? I immediately led with, this is not an emergency, but I do have a noise complaint file. And so then the woman, the dispatcher, was very nice. She said, okay, well, let me transfer you to a more appropriate agency. And I go, thank you so much. And then they told me to go to 311. I called 311. This very lovely woman, Nicolette, helped me file this this noise complaint at 497 Atlantic Avenue, outside in the back patio area of a restaurant called Pardis, a Jewish eatery called Pardis. But meanwhile, and I'm not making any connections or whatever, but like everyone at this party was
5 seconds
was just very like young and hip and like ethnic, and like it was like, wait, you guys aren't Jewish.
That's 1 minute.
And
I'm
wait,
sorry.
Hold on,
no,
hold
it
on,
has
hold
to stop
on.
There, it's gonna your I don't think this one is gonna end on you.
Jewish eatery.
Miss PC Bowen Yang.
Oh God.
Go ahead, finish your thought, bitch.
This is my thought. I don't know what kind of parties this restaurant is hosting, but I see people, everyone in this restaurant has a yarmulke during operating business hours. But
well,
then
Passover's on the horizon.
Passover's on the horizon. But then every other night there are these like cool young people hanging out in the backyard just like screaming at the top of their lungs. So I don't get what this connection is.
You know what? I find that if I get like something that makes white noise, it helps me. Like sometimes I'll put my air conditioner on, like fan mode.
I turn on white noise.
Yeah. I had a dehumidifier that I loved.
Yeah, like kind of just like it helps you tune it out. But I hear you. Also, earplugs are a real thing.
My last words.
I don't want to.
You're not Jewish. Here, okay.
Yeah. You're not Jewish. All right. So now we're at culture of the week. And this is when we appreciate culture this week. That's really nailing it.
Okay.
And sometimes Bowen and I have a little bit of a common thread, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So Bowen, what's your culture of the week?
Okay. Well, honey, my culture of the week is.
And I think that we've read Disney World to filth. So I think we can go ahead and stretch the parameters to all of Orlando.
Exactly. So I'm going to stretch this to actually Disney World. I know we were sort of railing against Disney World
right.
a little bit, but you know what? And specifically the cleanliness of Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Culture of the week.
Culture of the week.
This reminded me a lot of Chicago. Chicago, very clean.
Very clean. But you know what? There have been, I think there's an urban legend that, there have been tests performed at Disney World where someone will leave like a piece of litter on the sidewalk,
mm-hmm.
on the fake cobblestone streets of Disney World, and within about 2 minutes, someone will have picked that up. So there are people hiding in the bushes, in the shadows,
mm-hmm.
waiting to pick up litter. And I think that is incredible.
That's amazing. And
we
actually
need those.
It bleeds into my culture of the week.
What's your culture?
The friendly talking garbage cans at Walt Disney World.
Absolutely.
I think it's the best thing in culture this week.
Absolutely.
I think that basically when the garbage cans are talking, it's mm-hmm. just another friendly voice in the park.
Like an unpleasant experience made pleasant. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. This is my
you.
Culture of the week, honey.
Dagger eyes.
Dagger
oh,
eyes.
Oh, God, the shade
the
in this
stalemate
room.
Stalemate of the year. Anyway, the J-Lo stalemate has bled over into the Disney stalemate
okay.
at this point.
All right.
So I love those little garbage cans that talk, especially when they have something nice to say, and you know at Disney World that they do.
What are some nice things that the garbage can has said to you?
Some nice things that the garbage can has said to me are, don't go this way. This way, some spooky happenings. And that happens right outside the Haunted Mansion. Because as you know, the Haunted Mansion is set in like a Louisiana bayou setting. Bayou.
Shout out to
Bayou Country.
Bayou Country.
Louisiana glamour.
Bayou Country.
So I also, any of the voices that pop out of the bushes, anytime there's a characterized thing that really shouldn't be a character in Disney World, I really appreciate that.
The best
I
culture.
Love when you can hear a little bit of zippity-doo coming from a tree when you're around Splash Mountain. I think it's really amazing that friendly voices are not just relegated to human beings. Friendly voices can come out of the bush.
Well, that song zippity-doo is a little problematic from a problematic movie, Song of the South.
Okay.
Well, you can
talk about that.
You're not
another
Jewish.
Time.
You're not Jewish. Okay, David, do you have any culture?
Do you have
any
culture of the week?
Well, culture of the week as it pertains to Orlando.
Anything.
It can be anything.
As far as like, I guess I'll keep it in the Orlando world because
okay,
what I was thinking when we were talking was that how out of place 25 year olds are on the streets of Disney.
Sure.
I mean, we were stoned to shit, and I want to like really highlight that was like a huge factor in this, but we were cussing and fussing and literally like, I think that we got glaring looks from every single family we
can. We have dirty mouths. I mean, probably if you listen to this podcast, you understood that we have a dirty mouth. But we really do have a filthy, dirty mouth.
Some of the stuff we were saying.
And it's the best culture of this week.
I would agree. Culture. I would agree. 25-year-olds in Disney. Incredible culture.
Incredible. All right, guys. Well, this has been Las Culturistas. Huge thanks to our guest, David Mazzoni.
Thank you so much for having me.
We just really enjoyed this, and we needed to have you on.
Come see Pop Roulette. Amazing
Yes,
Earth.
Final plug. Come see all three of us in Pop Roulette's Amazing Earth, along with Douglas Wydick, along with Rachel Winitsky, Amanda Schechtman, Tessa Scara, and special guest who's performing in a special capacity, Sudie Green.
The one and only.
The one and only. Mm. So we're off to go do Sudie Show theme party, but this has been Las Culturistas. Ding dong, ding dong.
Ding dong, ding ding.
Thank you so much. We love you.
Love you.
Talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.